New England decided to defer after winning the toss. And here's Hines on the run back, breaking a tackle and taking it past midfield. And down the sideline he goes. This is storybook. An opening kickoff return for Damar Hamlin. And this place is absolutely going wild. And here comes Hines again. Oh, my goodness. Can he do it twice? Is this for real? Can you believe it? Even a little Dion strut to the end zone. 101 yards.
Do you believe it?
No.
It's pretty close, Jim. It's pretty close.
What is not on here?
Hall of Fame worthy. Hall of Fame worthy is what I would say.
Is this the Cars song?
Yes, this is the Cars song, yes.
Sorry, I haven't seen it yet.
Wait till this kicks in.
No spoilers.
Spoiler alert, he doesn't win in the end.
Do any of the cars die?
Pretty close.
Do they just have dead car moms?
Pretty close.
Disney movies?
There are, eventually... spoiler alert, eventually Doc dies, but that's later on.
So what would a Pixar movie, what would it be if it wasn't ripe with sadness and sorrow?
It's later on in the movies. Doc dies, although that might have been because Paul Newman was the voice actor and he might have died in real life.
Did Paul Newman die?
Did he? I don't know.
Did he die?
During
Paul Newman died.
I was going to say, I think he definitely died. I don't know if that's why
when
they wrote him
die?
Out of the Cars movies.
I feel very dumb.
Paul Newman died in 2008.
It's probably about when Cars 3 came out.
I've been dead for a while. You never see me again.
This does not line up. What are you talking about? When did this car die in the movie?
Well, he didn't. No. He died in between movies. Doc died after Cars 1 and somewhere before Cars 3, obviously. But anyway, it's hour.
I won't be doing this character no more.
It's hour number 3. Jones and Mego with Arcan. Sheryl Crow should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Sheryl Crow, by the way, is 60 years old.
Oh, yeah.
What?
That blow your mind? I heard that this
yes.
morning.
You know what the biggest mistake she made was Lance Armstrong.
Oh,
I feel
yeah,
like
that
really
is.
Derailed things for
that
her.
Is
a lot of people can say that.
Quite regrettable, as was last season for the Patriots. They finished outside the postseason at 8-9. I want to ask you guys quickly where the Patriots stack up in the AFC. And Ezekiel, who runs Twitch here at WEEI, you can see this here on our Twitch chat if you want to follow along. He's going to throw up a graphic where you can follow along if you'd like to. And you can watch the show anytime on our live streams on Twitch, twitch.tv or youtube.com. Join the conversation in the chats there. Also, if you missed anything, check out our EEI YouTube channel and catch up on our exclusive interviews and top moments from every show. So last year, the teams that were in the playoffs in the AFC, I'm curious from you guys out there on the phone, 617-779-7937 and Mego and Arcan. Have the Patriots passed by any of these teams that were playoff teams this past year? Kansas City, Buffalo, Cincinnati, Jacksonville, the Chargers, Baltimore, or Miami? Are they catching or passing any of those teams based on, you know, where we're at thus far or being, you know, a move or two away from catching those teams in your estimation?
I'll start. The only one that I can see, I'm looking at 6-7, which would be Baltimore and Miami. Miami, we hear two is cleared, and it seems like they've moved past the Brady-Sean Payton intrigue and that they're going to stick with him. So I feel like you have a pretty stable situation there
and the
as
Patriots,
long as Tua returns.
The Patriots
returns.
Can't beat Tua when he plays.
Exactly.
So.
And Baltimore, the only thing I would say is that the end of that season with Lamar went so weird, so sideways, where he sat. And then, you know, then they slap a franchise tag on him. I wonder if, I don't think there will be disgruntled player syndrome throughout the season. I think that's the only way that they could jump into this top seven.
Arcan?
I don't really see it happening. I think that if you're talking about, you know, division winners, maybe Jacksonville falling off and, you know, Tennessee not being all that good, that's not really going to affect the Patriots in
right,
any real way.
Right, because somebody has to win the AFC South.
Someone
exactly.
has to win that division, so, I mean, that doesn't really matter. Outside of it, I mean, you know, I think you're probably around where those other teams are. I think Pittsburgh and the Jets
well, let's
are
hang on.
Still
let's get to those teams. I want to look at the playoff teams first. So we agree. No, they're not really leapfrogging any of those teams. Maybe Jacksonville, but somebody's got to win that division.
Right.
I could see Jacksonville coming back to the pack, although they have a young quarterback and they should be ascending. The Patriots aren't better than any of those teams. They're not going to be better than any of those teams, I don't think. Baltimore had two more wins, and Lamar Jackson missed five games last year.
Hey, but now they have a Pro Bowl quarterback behind Lamar Jackson.
That's a good point.
What's going to happen there?
They got two of them. That's true. Miami, Tua missed a ton of time this year. Maybe you can't count on them, but again, you can't beat Miami when they have Tua. So let's focus on these other teams. And Ezekiel, you can throw up the other graphic if you'd like. Pittsburgh at 9-8. The Patriots were 8-9. Jets, Tennessee, Cleveland, all at 7-10. And Deshaun Watson missed, what, 12 games this year? Vegas was 6-11. Denver 5-12. They already have a new coach. Indy 4-12-1. Houston 3-13-1. How many of those teams can catch or surpass the Patriots with a move? I mean, Pittsburgh was already better than New England last year. If the Jets get a quarterback, are they better, Mego?
Well, it depends on the quarterback.
What
That's the biggest question.
Aaron Rodgers, yes or no?
Yes.
Derek Carr, yes or no?
Yes.
I think you're maybe even.
I'm with Arkan. Yes. They get Derek Carr, they're
you
better.
You all are so high on Derek Carr.
I'm not. He's just better than what you have. So Aaron Rodgers, definitely.
I will push back on that.
On Aaron Rodgers?
On Derek Carr.
Okay.
Being better with the Jets than what you have with Mac. I think Mac with Bill O'Brien and a competent offense that everyone can understand and ask questions about is going to make him better than whatever team Derek Carr is on with the
Jets.
I'd
take Derek Carr over Mac every single day of the week. If Tennessee gets a quarterback, Arkan, or makes a big move, are they better than the Pats?
No, I don't think that they are all around. I think they have a better running back, obviously, but I just don't think you can win that way.
They were the one seed 2 years ago.
They were, but they had wide receivers then, so I don't think that's realistic.
They almost feel
anymore.
Like New England Junior to me.
How about,
in terms of bad New England
How about
offenses?
A full season for Cleveland with Deshaun Watson? Are they better?
He looked like hot garbage when he came back.
I'm not sure about him. Yeah, I'm sort of with Megan here. I'm not sure about him.
You start going like he went years without playing. And so you start saying, can he ever get it back? You kind of say that hopefully, like, he won't ever get it back.
Look, Michael Vick missed 2 years. He came back and played. I think he made a Pro Bowl. Like, it's not impossible.
I think Cleveland will be good and much better next year with Deshaun Watson. But I thought Denver was going to be awesome with Russell Wilson. And, you know, Wilson apparently is never getting
Denver's
it back.
Denver's not going anywhere.
That whole AFC West is going to be tough this year.
How about Vegas? If they get a quarterback to replace Derek Carr, what if they get Rodgers? Are they better?
Vegas is going to be better than they were last year.
Are they better than the Pats?
I don't think they're going to be better than the Pats. I don't think they're going to be that good.
They beat the Pats.
With Rodgers, they will be.
This year. Yeah, I think that those two teams are going to be pretty different next year. You're talking about the difference of a quarterback. And you're talking about the difference of most of the offense in New England just in terms of the structure of it. What offense they're going to run.
Yeah, I mean, again, we're talking about a system versus an actual upgrade in talent. I think the Raiders and the Jets have real potential to upgrade their talent. Cleveland already did, and I'm talking about at the quarterback position. Denver's stuck with their quarterback. They have a new coach. Can Denver catch the Pats?
Well, I'm going to say, again, with Cleveland, we think. Can Denver? No, Denver's not going anywhere. If Denver goes anywhere, they're going to slip further.
Arkan?
I don't think so. I think Denver's in a real bad spot right now.
These bottom three, I think, are going to stay the bottom three.
Indy's not going to get Rodgers, but I'm curious who Indy gets in the draft.
I think the Colts could be a lot better
Me
than
too.
They were this year.
If Indy gets a real, maybe they could get Carr, or maybe they could get, I don't know, a kid in the draft, Stroud.
You guys are acting like Carr is going to be this like groundbreaking quarterback for all these bad teams.
Well, he's just better than what the Patriots have. And I am a simpleton.
You keep saying, well, if this bad team gets Carr,
yeah,
they're going to be a bad team with Carr.
The Colts are kind of like one of those teams
there.
Where veteran guys go to...
The Pats are a bad team.
Yeah, I know, but the Colts already have sort of proved Matt Ryan and Carson Wentz, all these guys, you know, they bring them in and nothing happens and they end up, you know, that's it. They end up getting benched. So, I don't know, for the Colts, I think it's probably better for them to try and start over rather than go down that road again because it's not really working for them. But they do have some pieces on that offense that
I
like.
Here's what I learned going through this AFC exercise. I don't think the Pats are catching any of those playoff teams, and we all agree on that. Maybe Mego, Baltimore, Miami on the periphery. Maybe Jacksonville falls back to the pack. But again, somebody's got to win the AFC South. We all pretty much agree they're not catching those playoff teams.
Barring major moves.
I think every team in the... Personally, I think every team in the AFC not named Houston has the potential to catch the Patriots and pass them by. Every single team. Why not?
Because I just told you, I think
I'm not
these
saying
bottom
all of them will. Every single one is like one move away from passing
you could
the Patriots.
Say, you know, never say never. Anything could happen. But you're also acting like what we see here and the rosters
Indy needs a quarterback. If they get a quarterback, they could be better. Vegas needs a quarterback. They get a quarterback, they could be better. Cleveland was only one win last year worse than the Patriots. They're going to have Deshaun Watson
How come
for a
all
full
these
year.
Other teams
the Jets
can make
need a
roster
quarterback.
Moves and the Patriots are just
because
exactly
the Patriots
the same.
Are sticking with Mac.
Yeah.
The Patriots can't upgrade their quarterbacks.
But you're acting like that's the only position on the field. It's the most important.
It basically is in the NFL today. It's basically like the NBA.
2021 Mac, you think, is going to be so much worse than Derek Carr with Indianapolis or Russell Wilson with Denver?
Yeah, I'm not sure about Wilson, but Carr, yes, he's worse than Carr.
I don't think so. I think and you're talking about one quarterback.
Carr's in the Pro Bowl this year. Mac's not.
Should be a center.
Everybody loves
Snoop,
talking Pro Bowl. Snoop
Hartley's in the Pro Bowl.
Okay, and Mac's not.
Okay.
So?
What do you mean so? Everybody loved talking
Mac
about Pro Bowl.
Mac should be there instead of Snoop Hartley.
Everybody, Arcan, on Monday, you were talking about how Mac went to the Pro Bowl last year. Now
that
he's not
Arcan.
In the Pro Bowl.
That so was Arcan. I didn't say that.
You were the one who brought up Pro Bowls on Monday.
Sure. It doesn't mean it means anything at this point.
No, he's not in the Pro Bowl. He's
that's
not very
right.
good.
Them making
Snoop
the playoffs Huntley last year was
ruined
more.
The integrity of the Pro Bowl.
No.
And we should all
wrong.
Think of it.
Mac ruined the integrity of the Pro Bowl last year. It's why they canceled the game. I think they put Mac in the game and they said we
what's
can't do
Denver's
this
what's Denver's one move to pass the Patriots?
Their coach.
Their coach is the one move?
They changed their head coach. Everybody thinks changing the coordinator here is a bigger move.
What happened to talent is all that matters?
It is.
Then you see washed Russell Wilson.
Do you think
that
Broncos
coach is
going to
give him five wins?
I appreciate you guys.
He doesn't need to give him five wins. They were 3 wins worse than the past
Sorry,
last year.
Sorry, excuse me. Four wins, not five. That's good. Is 4 wins better with the new coach?
I thought that's where the Bruins used to hang out.
I hate the 4 wins.
That was very good, right?
I think Russell Wilson will be better this year. I don't know how much better, and I'm not telling you you're getting Seattle Wilson, but I think he'll be better with Sean Payton, I do. Just like everybody seems to think Mac is going to be so much better with Bill O'Brien. I love how an offensive coordinator change is greater than a head coach change. I don't want to overrate
it's
coaching.
It's greater when you're going from the basement to the second floor. I'm not saying they're in the penthouse. They were in the sub-basement. They're digging themselves out of the sub-basement.
Did you watch Nathaniel Hackett? That's where Denver was last year. They're in the same spot. So, look, I mean, maybe Denver, you're right. Maybe Denver, I'm being too overzealous with. The other ones?
I'm saying, I think with your
they
Russell
fired
Wilson
Hackett,
take,
and they still suck, too,
one,
by the way.
One
with
quarterback
your Russ take, you're going to be hanging out with your Kyrie take.
I think Russ could be better than Mac next year. I think Russ probably will be better than Mac next year. I don't think it's that hard. 617-779-7937. It's how you get in touch here. Where do the Patriots stack up in the AFC? And are they one move away from falling to the bottom of the conference? It certainly looks that way. That's how I feel about it. I want to get to Karen Garigian, her update on Jerod Mayo and what it means for the Patriots, plus maybe a wide receiver shaken loose for the Pats in Tampa Bay. We'll get to all that after Trending with Arcan.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Celtics and Bruins both back to their winning ways last night. Bruins with an easy 5-2 win over the Maple Leafs in Toronto. Pavel Zacha with a pair of goals. It's the Bruins' last stop before the All-Star break. They'll be off until February 11th. All of them except, of course, for David Pastrnak and Linus Allmark. They're playing in the All-Star game. Jim Montgomery's coaching the Atlantic team. Bruins heading to the break on pace for 133 points. That would break the record for highest single-season point total in NHL history, currently held by the 1976-77 Montreal Canadiens. Celtics had a very easy night as well last night, blasting the Nets. Final score was 139-96. Wasn't really even that close. Celtics put up 79 points just in the first half. Jason Tatum led the way with 31. Up next, Celtics will host the Suns tomorrow night. Celtics are 20-6 so far this year at TD Garden. Robert Kraft went on CNN with Poppy Harlow this morning and said that he would be open to having Tom Brady sign a one-day contract to retire as a Patriot. And Vic Fangio, who's currently working as a consultant for the Eagles, has been tapped by the Dolphins to be their new defensive coordinator. I'm Christian Arcand, and that's what's trending now.
Now back to Jones and Mego.
I don't know how else to talk about it because I'm sick.
On WEEI.
In conversations that I've had, it's been indicated to me, I don't care about money, Mayo meaning. He doesn't care about titles. He cares about the opportunity to advance his career in the direction of what he hopes to be, which is an NFL head coach. So if he feels more confident that will arise from whatever agreement they strike, I think that's to the good. I don't think they're hosing him. I know the Kraft family thinks extremely highly of him. And as I said, during this whole process, I think Belichick doesn't look at this as a threat to whether it be him or Steve Belichick or Matt Patricia or anybody else. He will look at it as, hey, I found this guy.
It's Tom Curran. Last hour here on Jones, Mego, and Arcan. Tom Curran joins us each and every Thursday at 3:30. And if you missed our interview, you can go back and listen on the podcast anytime. Just subscribe to Jones and Mego with Arcan on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts. You can dial us up, 617-779-7937. Why wouldn't he get the title? Karen Garigian in the Boston Herald tweeted out the following today. Regarding Jerod Mayo, I'm hearing from a source we should pump the brakes on him having a new title going forward. A pay raise, sure, and his overall role could change, but there may not be a different title. He made such a mistake by coming back here and not taking interviews elsewhere. If that's indeed what's going on, if you're not getting the title, what's the point?
I guess the behind the scenes experience you're getting, but to my own credit, let me credit myself.
Yes.
I followed up that answer asking, well, what's it look like on the outside? Because Jerod Mayo has not minced words about his ultimate goal to be a head coach. So if that doesn't work out here in New England, which Tom Curran sounds confident that he's the heir apparent, if I'm hearing
well,
right
let's,
how he
let's
was.
Let's hear
with
from
us.
Tom, because he did pick up with your follow-up question, Mego.
It has mattered in previous interviews where he has gone into interviews and spent a portion of time explaining what exactly is it that you do over there and how is the setup working and why are you going to be different from Matt Patricia or Joe Judge or Josh McDaniels. There has been a portion of time spent in explaining why he's a different person too. So I think all of those things contribute. That's why I think being a Belichick fruit from the Belichick tree is all it's cracked up to be sometimes for these guys, even though they do get new jobs, they so often fall into the same traps that whether it be Mangini or McDaniels in Denver fell into before. So yeah, it's something that they've had to conquer, and not having a title might mean that remains the same, but I just don't think that all of this leads me to believe, just connecting the dots, that Jerod Mayo is the odds on successor to Bill Belichick and he'll never have to interview anyplace else.
Okay. So he's the likely successor. It's still, you know, if there's nothing in ink, nothing signed, we've all been in this experience and in an opportunity. If you don't have the contract signed, nothing's for sure. And so I wonder about this because it sounds like, listening to Tom there, at least on the outside, now more than ever, it's a case of, well, what exactly is your job there? And we've seen, this isn't like it was necessarily 10 years ago, 15 years ago, where we've seen so many fruit of the Belichick tree go rotten somewhere else.
Would you hire somebody off the belt? Arkin and I have talked about this a million times, so I know how he feels about it. I'm well-worn on this topic. Would you ever hire anyone from the Belichick tree?
No.
I can't apply a blanket statement to that.
Why?
Because it's a variety of fruit.
No, it's not.
Yes,
it's
it
all,
is.
It's all pretty much the same. It all stinks.
Do you include Vrabel in it?
I
is that player?
So I actually do. So you're
gets,
right.
This
you're
is
right.
Where we get into technicalities.
You're right. I do, but
it's not really that difficult.
Not everybody does, but fine. Maybe
he didn't coach under him.
Me
so he's
saying
not his coaching tree.
Every
is Vrabel
single
like
one,
a potato or a tomato, where I mean, it's kind of a fruit.
Vrabel won 7-10 last year, so
I don't
know how crazy I'd go with that.
Fruit.
But maybe I shouldn't say every single one.
Brian Flores.
They've all been bad. Flores was fine.
Sorry that Flores was too much of an honorable gentleman.
Daboll had one good year. I mean, Flores never even made the playoffs.
O'Brien had a couple decent years.
How is he going to make the playoffs when the Miami Dolphins are just kicking away every single piece that
O'Brien,
he could have made the playoffs
O'Brien
with?
Stunk as a head
well,
coach.
Well, he did
he was four games over 500
Tua
in like six years.
Tua.
So, no, I don't think any of them are that good. But Vrabel, I would listen on. Maybe Daboll will be good. I guess we'll see. I don't count like Kevin O'Connell
Wait,
and guys
you,
like that.
You're not ready to say that Daboll is a good head coach?
No.
Really?
He had one good year.
Yeah, it's one good
Turn
year.
That team around.
I would say the small sample size we have of him as a head coach, I would say he's a good head coach.
Let's see. He's had one good year. Let's see.
Okay. Yeah. I'm just going by sample
so,
size.
But your answer is you would hire somebody off the Belichick
coaching tree.
Yeah,
depending
if it was
the right fit.
You wouldn't be afraid to do that. You'd be like just about every owner in the NFL who keeps hiring them and has to hire another one 3 years later because they all pretty much stink.
Not sure I'd hire the special teams coach to be my head coach in New York or things of that. You know what I mean? Like maybe I'd go a little further. Jerod Mayo is sort of a different case as he played and coached with Belichick. So maybe you look a little differently on that one. But I mean, for the most part, I think a lot of these guys got that Belichick stamp of approval, got hired, and were way out of their depth. I mean, that's what it usually is.
And I'm sure this is well-trod ground between you guys, but it's a huge amount of coaches that have come out of Foxborough under Belichick.
True.
It's kind of hard to compare it to another coaching tree, I would think.
Well, I don't think it's that hard. Andy Reid's been coaching forever. Reid has a bunch of successful coaches who have gone on and won playoff games and Super Bowls, and I mean, Reid's had a very successful coaching tree.
All right, I'll check that tree out.
Shanahan and McVay, very successful coaching trees. you know? And it's not just guys getting hired. I mean, Zach Taylor is from the McVay tree. He's been to an AFC title game and a Super Bowl the last 2 years. Hasn't won the Super Bowl yet, but he's been there. I mean, there's not a lot of guys on the Belichick tree doing that.
That's true. But I still come back to, it's like, it's a much bigger sample size for Belichick in most of these cases. And I would feel like most NFL coaches fail. I mean, much more NFL coaches, coaches fail versus succeed.
Arkan, you brought this up. Like, most of them end up going to trash situations, right?
Usually, yeah. The teams that are good don't end up firing their coaches that often, okay. So usually you're going to a bad team.
If you're firing Belichick, you probably weren't very good, so you're probably going to be a bad team, too. I would not hire anyone from the Bill coaching tree. If the Crafts want to do that, fine, go ahead. I think it would be a mistake. I think it's a mistake that Mayo trusts them that he's the coach in waiting. I think McDaniels felt that way for a long period
of
time.
That's more where my fear lies in this situation.
McDaniels trusted them for a long, long period of time. And I think part of the reason McDaniels left is because Patricia came back, and McDaniels thought maybe Patricia was the heir apparent to Bill Belichick. Now Patricia's clearly on the way out. Like, I think the Crafts have kind of told people in the past, or certainly hinted, whether it's been in writing as you referred to or not, I think they've let people know, yeah, Josh, you know, we like where things are going, and you could be the next guy. And then Matt Patricia comes in. We love Patricia. We've heard how much the Crafts love Patricia. We love you, Matt. We like where things are going. It's part of the reason McDaniels gets out. Now, like, they've told other guys in the past, I think, that they could be the heir apparent. And even so, how much longer is Bill going to hang on? How many more years does Mayo want to sit behind Bill when he could maybe go interview for a head coaching job right now? He should have done that.
Well, and here's the other little piece of this, is because we know how in the past Bill Belichick and Robert Kraft have interacted. How much will Robert Kraft know about what Gerard Mayo does in the day-to-day? Even if Bill is the one who's taking Gerard under his wing and kind of having him as his little associate coach or whatever, you know, can he firmly explain in a way that Robert is trusting in, that he's ready to take the reins? I'm not saying that a title does all of that, but it leaves everything in this weird gray area that they love to have things.
I will say this. I'd rather have Mayo be the next head coach than O'Brien.
Why is that? Because you've seen O'Brien as a head coach and you've never seen Mayo as?
I know what O'Brien is. Mayo is at least an unknown quantity. He's young. He was a player. So I would rather have Mayo than O'Brien, but my real answer is I don't want anyone from the Bill tree. That's my real answer. 617-779-7937. Ben's in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Ben.
Hey, fellas. Good to have you on, Jones.
Excuse
here.
Me. Ben, fellas.
What's wrong with fellas?
Well, there's a lady here.
My bad. Long day at work. But nothing like something to rile you up by listening to Jones on the way home.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
So, realistically, I think you have to do whatever you can do to get Aaron Rodgers, whether people like it or not. I think that it's your only chance to try to compete with the people that you're competing with in your division for the next couple of years. Bill wants his win goal, and I think if you pick up Aaron Rodgers in a true number one receiver, you are a contender.
Rodgers would help him get to the wins goal. You have your hand, your head in your hands, rather, there, Mego. I don't think Rodgers is realistic, but doesn't mean they shouldn't go after him.
It's not going to happen.
I know it's not going to happen, but
so
should.
So why are we talking about it?
But because what's going to, we don't always have to talk about what's going to happen.
I know, but he wasn't even good last year. Like, he's not, to me, that's more towards I know you're going to say Mac wasn't good either.
Yeah, correct. He's just so much better than what
he's
you have.
He's a huge, just walking. I'm thinking of like when bank robbers walk out with bags of money.
Yes.
That's just Aaron Rodgers with
the
arms
sensation
and legs.
Of feeling 100 different hands on my body.
I don't even know who's going to pick that up.
I like to.
And if you're going to tell me, well, you got to go get them so the Jets don't get them and you're at the bottom of the division, like, stop. It's just not going to. Okay.
Why is that crazy?
Let's go get Rodgers.
Hang on. Why is that crazy? If the Jets get Aaron Rodgers, you are at the bottom of the division. Why is that crazy?
I also feel like Aaron Rodgers is close to entering the Kyrie zone.
That's
if he hasn't put one foot in it anyway, which I know is like your favorite place.
He's in the Kyrie zone, and I do enjoy it.
It could zag very strangely. And I look at his last season and I wonder, is this the beginning of the Russell Wilsonification of Aaron Rodgers here? And how long does he even want to play football? And I personally, and I'm not trying to be a jerk, I don't want to have the conversation about why don't you go get Aaron Rodgers and a number one receiver? Why don't you get Aaron Rodgers and T. Higgins? Then you'll be in a great spot. Okay. Great. Why don't I just buy a mansion in Beacon Hill?
I know, but
I think that'd be great.
But the Patriots...
Then I'd be set, and I'd live in a nice mansion.
I don't know enough about your finances, but the Patriots do have the means to go do both of those things.
Probably in the Patriots in terms of the division of being well off in your finances.
The Patriots are plenty well off in their finances.
No, I'm saying where they are in their division.
Oh, I see. Got
closer to the bottom than the top.
I think Aaron Rodgers would be a waste of money for the Patriots,
why?
Honestly. Yeah. Even if you bring him in, I don't think it's going to make you good enough to beat Buffalo. I think you're still going to be
a
team that's on the fringe of the playoffs.
Are you good enough to beat Buffalo? Probably not. Are you a playoff team? I'd be shocked if they weren't a playoff team.
Fringe playoff team, I think. You know, wild card team for sure. I mean, I don't think that's about as close as you're getting, and you're not playing at home.
Okay.
That's sort of how I feel. And that's a lot of money to spend to just get to that.
Look, I don't know if Rodgers, and again, this won't happen, but I don't know if Rodgers guarantees you a playoff spot. I'd be surprised if you missed the playoffs. It does raise your ceiling a lot. Like, your ceiling with Mac is a fringe playoff team. You're a fringe playoff team with Rodgers, and your ceiling is a lot higher. In my estimation.
I don't know about that, though, because Mac's rookie year, they were a fringe playoff team. They should have gotten better, you know? They should have evolved from that and progressed. They didn't, obviously, but, like, that was where they should have gone.
Yeah, it's where they should have gone, and they didn't.
You know what I like what Rodgers did last year?
What's
since
that?
I'm saying some kind of mean things about him. Remember when Belichick said that Rodgers, that's a guy who never turns the ball over?
Mm-hmm.
And everyone was like, ooh, Rodgers, like... Ooh, he's taking it to Mac because Mac keeps getting picked off.
Yep.
And then Rodgers had like a career high turner, like interceptions of 12 interceptions through his whole season.
Right.
Compared to the rest of his career.
I know.
That was great by Rodgers.
A whole one more than Mac last season, and Mac missed a bunch of time. But, you know,
they
I
don't
mean,
turn the ball over. He doesn't make very many mistakes. He never has.
I don't think Rodgers was that bad last year. Like, I mean, he's bad for him. That doesn't mean he's a bad quarterback. We mentioned wide receivers, and this name has now caught my eye a little bit in the past couple of days. Andrew Callahan actually wrote about it a few weeks ago, and we had referenced some of the names at wide receiver. We kept bringing up, well, Hopkins is the obvious one. Keenan Allen is another one that I've talked about that I saw in the Herald a few weeks ago. T. Higgins' name has come up, which I know you love to hear, Mego. Two different places I saw this name last night, and it connects directly to Brady retiring. The Bucs are rebuilding. If they don't have Brady and they're going to go through the draft with Anthony Richardson or somebody like that from Florida and they're going to start over at quarterback, then cap jail aside or anything else, they're going to try to rebuild, right, and retool and start over. You don't need Mike Evans if you're rebuilding. And that name has come up a couple of different times. I read it from Charles Robinson at Yahoo Sports, who I think is very plugged in at the national level. I read it from Phil Perry locally last night at NBC Sports Boston. He says there's the biggest name of the bunch on the Buccaneers should they go and embrace a rebuild. Mike Evans, the 6'5 wideout, is going into essentially the final year of his deal with the Bucs. He had three void years, blah, 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 on his most recent deal. Anything Tampa does with him would have to qualify as a post-June 1 designation, cut or trade, because the dead money hits their books before, if it hits their books before, then it would be exorbitant. But if they can find a trade partner and a deal that makes sense, they could create cap space by sending him out after June 1st, almost $15 million in cap space. That's a complicated deal to try to pull off because rosters are mostly set by that point on the calendar, writes Phil. The draft is come and gone, so the return on a deal wouldn't yield immediate rookie help. But if the Bucs are desperate enough to try to find a way to free up millions in cap space, moving on from a veteran receiver when the team is clearly now rebuilding might make some sense. He says from a Patriots perspective, Evans would immediately become their number one threat in the passing game. He surpassed 1,000 yards in each of the last 9 years, including 1,124 yards last year. That included 6 touchdowns in 15 games in what was considered a down year. Mike Evans, in or out on him?
Oh, so in. I think this would be a huge upgrade for their wide receiver room. I mean, he's turning 30 now, and so it would be a nice... I mean, it's exactly the kind of receiver, I think, if you could pair him on the other side of DeVante Parker... I think that's a nice receiver room that you have then. I don't know if you bring back Jacoby Myers, but if you can get, I love Jacoby Myers, but if you can get someone like Mike Evans, people who watch Tampa may just think about the weird fumbles that he had, not even fumbles, but just bobbles.
Yep.
That he
bobbles,
had
drops. The,
yeah, very, very.
Fights that he's gotten in with Marshawn Lattimore.
Yeah, very hard to explain, but overall, he's a significant upgrade over anyone you have. But can you go back to the numbers? Because I thought I had different numbers. If it's before June 1, the number is what? And after June 1, it's what?
Before June 1. Hang on. Scrolling.
21 million. If they cut or trade him before June 1st, it's a $21 million dead cap hit.
Yeah, okay.
But if they do it after, I think they can spread it out over the next 3 years.
Phil wrote correct. They could, okay. If they do it after June 1st, it would be more like $15 million, but it's cap money, so they can play around with it and change it and alter it all they want. But so, I just think there is potential that now that Brady's done, he's a cast off. Arcan, you're in or out on Mike Evans?
I'm in on Mike Evans, but I do have my doubts about him. Like, I would take him, obviously, and he'd be a big upgrade for the Patriots, but I don't know. I mean, he's okay. Like, he's put up big numbers, and I think that in the offenses he's played in, he's been really useful. You bring him here and you put him in this offense, and I just sort of feel like his style and his production will drop off. That's sort of my worry about him. Well, I'm not sure he'll elevate everybody. I don't know if he's that kind of player.
Even if it drops off, he's never had a less than a 1,000-yard season. You don't have anybody who sniffed that this year.
Correct. Yeah, look, but if it drops down to like 800, you know, that's what Kendrick Bourne did last year. You know what I mean? Like, that's sort of
last
what I
year, Kendrick meaning, Bourne did meaning, like 400.
Meaning 2021.
I know what he meant.
I have my questions about Mike Evans, too, but you're telling me I can go get him? I'd get him. You need weapons in the passing game. The Patriots, especially, need weapons in the passing game, but you need it in general in the NFL. If Mike Evans is available, yes, I'm looking to bring him in, just like I'm looking to bring in DeAndre Hopkins, who has his own questions, or, you know, potentially Keenan Allen, if he were available. I'm looking to upgrade receiver any way I can. And Mike Evans, despite my questions about him, his commitment, his toughness, all these things, and I don't love that he's a jump ball receiver, I'd like a guy who's more an inside-outside receiver, more of a route runner and a tactician than another jump ball guy like Devontae Parker. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things I don't love about Evans, but he'd easily be your best receiver. Yes, go get him. What do you guys think? 617-779-7937. We'll get to you coming up. And on the way next, you heard enough from us. Us guys. You don't want to hear from the guys anymore. You want to hear from Mego and Megsplaining next.
Why don't you explain this to me like I am an 8-year-old?
Do you need it broken down?
It's so dumb.
Why don't you explain this to me like I'm 5?
Well, lucky for you.
I don't know how else to talk about it.
Shut up, Meg.
It's time for...
Now I let you know!
Meg-splaining.
Meg-splaining.
Can you explain to me why you're slandering a great modern American film in Groundhog's Day?
I respect you, Mego, so much, and it's just shocking to me that you would consider Groundhog Day a great film. You say, on Twitter, you said a nearly perfect film.
Nearly perfect film?
Nearly perfect!
It's the same day over and over again with a few tweaks every time. That is the most, oh my God, drawn out, annoying thing to have to sit through. It's what do they say, that the insanity is just doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different outcome?
Yeah.
Well, that's what you get in this movie. That's why I couldn't watch The Affair either, because you saw the same day over and over again by two different points of views.
Oh, that's the lovely Courtney Cox from the Greg Hill Morning Show, and I do love her. It's Groundhog Day again. And she started this debate on the morning show about that movie being, quote, trash. In case you're not familiar with it, I encourage you to watch it for yourself. 1993 film, Groundhog Day, starring Bill Murray and Andy McDowell. The idea is Bill Murray is this cranky, narcissistic local TV reporter who gets stuck in this space-time continuum loop where he is forced to reevaluate his life and learn to care about people other than himself. So what I want to address here, first of all, the way that we talk about movies that we don't like, to say that a movie is trash, it rubs me the wrong way.
Like, you don't like just being like, that movie's big trash. You don't like that.
Yeah, it's just, you can say that movie isn't for me, or I respect what that movie did, but I never really need to watch it again. I feel that way about a lot of movies.
Like, what movie don't you like?
Like, when I saw The Master, did you ever see that?
No.
Super weird movie.
I thought you were about to say The Mask. I'm like, oh yeah, I saw The Mask.
With films.
The Mask.
That was a great film, damn it.
The Mask, yeah, big trash. I like The Mask as a kid, but big trash.
If you return to it, it doesn't hold up.
No.
Groundhog Day does. This is a movie that masquerades at times as a like gag-filled comedy, as a romantic comedy. It is deeply philosophical. It addresses nihilism and existentialism.
Now explain those to me.
All without being condescending.
Which one's which?
The idea of nothing matters and the idea of I alone exist.
I think I only know about nihilists from The Big Lebowski. I think that's the only reason I'm aware of that, yeah.
But the point is, it goes through the whole range of human emotions that we go through in a mundane day.
Yep.
Like, the idea is the mundane, that your day-to-day life, your life is not going to be all Super Bowls, all birthday parties, all weddings. It's the day-to-day where things matter.
It's not all Tom Brady retiring.
No, like
some
it's
days,
not.
Some
it's
days
not.
You got to grind through a Bruins 5-2 win
and
over the Maple Leafs.
The point is that this is a horrible local TV reporter who, if you work in media, you've run across a few. And he comes around to the very end after all of this, spoiler alert, and finds purpose in others and in connecting with the community and in just is forced to be a better person. And I think that that's really rare to find in a movie that's as funny as this.
I've never heard anyone talk about this movie like this. Is this like a top 10 movie for you all time?
No, I just think it's important not to disregard it because I love Bill Murray. And
it is a cinematic work of art.
It is very, it's very deep. And it doesn't show itself that way.
I admittedly have not. RK, when's the last time you saw Groundhog Day? I haven't seen Groundhog Day in, is it Groundhog's Day?
Groundhog Day.
I think it was honestly last Groundhog Day because there's a station that plays it on a loop.
I don't know if I've seen.
Hallmark Channel.
I don't know if I've seen it since I was a kid, so maybe I didn't fully appreciate it, but I got to be honest, I lean more in the trash category than
listening
I do this.
You know that alarm clock go off every like 10 minutes?
But maybe I need to watch it. Maybe I need to watch it.
Like, nobody likes hearing their alarm clock go off. No, like, the idea is that you find the beauty in everyday life. And I just think that's really, really lovely. And I love Bill Murray, and it's one of his all-time performances. And I like to believe that everyone can be better.
I don't know what this means about me. Probably nothing good. But when Bill Murray started trying to kill himself to get out of it and kept waking up in the bed, I thought, wow, that'd be cool if I could do that. If I could jump off a building and then wake up in bed the next day, now, like, that'd be awesome.
Now, Groundhog Day, there were no consequences to him dying, correct?
No matter what happened, mm-hmm. He dropped the toaster in the tub, he did all that stuff, and he just would wake up in the
I like the part where he just sits in bed with the Jack Daniels for, like, an entire day, and that's how he spends one of the Groundhog Days.
It's great. Russian Doll, did you see Russian Doll?
No.
It's just
a ripoff.
Natasha Lyonne. It is, but
Russian Doll.
But there were consequences to every time she dies. It wasn't just like, I die, nothing happens. There were consequences.
I'm very confused because I thought that you didn't watch TV or
movies. It's like one show that I've watched. I don't watch many. We actually assigned ourselves on the old show. I know you don't want to hear me talk about where we used to work. But on the old show, during the pandemic, we assigned ourselves different television shows to watch. This is one that I was assigned to watch.
Hard up for content.
I didn't watch it on my own. I wasn't like, ooh, Russian Doll. I was assigned it. But it was good. And there were consequences to her dying.
I'm surprised you don't like Groundhog Day.
I didn't say I don't like it.
You said you veer more towards trash.
I said I haven't seen it in a long time, which leads me to believe, similar to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame thing, that there's a reason I haven't watched it. Maybe I got to go back and watch it.
I think you should go give it a rewatch.
I'll be open-minded, but sitting here today, I think I'm leaning trash.
Is it because I'm making it into a discussion of philosophy?
Well, I think, no, it's not that. It can't possibly be as good as you're making it out to be, but maybe it is. Maybe if I watch it, it's a top 10 all-time movie and a cinematic masterpiece.
Good. I think it's a very good movie.
It's very funny, and it seems shallow, which is why people walk away and go, God, that was just a movie about 40 days of Groundhog Day or whatever it is. How many? 6 weeks of winter? I don't know. Mm-hmm. Whatever that comes out to. And it's not what it's about. It's about how you go from being a narcissistic, awful local TV reporter to...
I'm too surface. Maybe that's my problem.
Should we put Adam Jones in a Groundhog Day scenario? Should we all come in here tomorrow?
I was just in one for 5 weeks waiting to start the show. I was just in one of those.
Should we see if he becomes a nicer person?
Yeah, like, no, you're a weird guy.
If every day we came in and we pretended like it was the same exact subjects.
I literally was just in my own Groundhog Day, in my apartment every single day. I was just in my own Groundhog Day.
How long do you think it would take Adam Jones to crack and be like, there is a bright future for Mac if he plays his cards right?
It probably wouldn't take very long.
I think it would probably take 6 months.
You think it would take that long?
Yeah, I think it would take a long time.
Interesting.
Well, people have done the math on the movie Groundhog Day, and they said that it was something like 12,000 days, which is, I think, like 30 years.
12,000 days?
Yeah, Phil Connors lived 30 years that same day.
It's a lot of monotony.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
A lot of monotony. Yeah.
Wow, that's even darker than I thought it was.
I'll tell you what, I watched the actual Groundhog this morning. You know, my kid was they do Groundhog Day at school. They've been telling all the 4-year-olds about Groundhog's Day and informing them. So my kid wanted to watch it today. We watched it today.
Punxsutawney Phil, is that his name?
Yes, Wiggy nailed it. It's Punxsutawney Phil,
the radioactive groundhog.
Punxsutawney Phil. And we watched that this morning in the Jones household. You know what I learned? The groundhog's usually right. Did you know this?
What do you mean?
The groundhog, they've got...
Oh, the groundhog is right in New England at predicting that it's going to be cold for six more weeks at the beginning of February?
Arcan, the number I saw today, and this is across the country, this is not New England, that he is right 69% of the time over the years.
Wow, nice. That's a perverted groundhog.
Very, very nice. And I'd love to have that level of hit rate on my takes. The groundhog's like 6 more weeks away.
Doesn't it always see a shadow? Like, I think almost always?
Pretty much, yeah. I don't get...
Like 90% of the time?
Ryan brought this up. I don't really get how it wouldn't see its shadow. Like, when's the last time you were walking around outside and were like, there's no shadow?
If you're made of solid mass and the sun is out and your eyes work, you can't avoid your shadow.
When's the last time you saw that? Yeah.
Groundhog can't turn a certain way, maybe?
I have to imagine that, yeah, it's how it turns its head.
Right.
What's the lifespan of a groundhog?
Oh, can't be good. They got to be on...
Especially if you're...
This has got to be... Punxsutawney Phil, at least number like 50 or 60.
3 years.
I think it's...
That's it?
That's it.
Oh, wow, that's tough.
They can live up to 6 years, but 2 or 3 years is the average.
Maybe it would live longer if it predicted more spring.
Hear ye, hear ye. Now on this February 2nd, Punxsutawney Phil, the seer of seers, was awakened from his wintry nap at dawn on Gobbler's Knob.
That
Phil
can't be
to
real.
The skies, and it's then real. Speaking in groundhoggies, directed this President Dunkel to the proper scroll, which reads...
Are they?
I don't want to hear this. I don't want to hear his
You're
poem.
Telling me that this little rat
is, yes.
who lives in Gobbler's Knob...
That's
is,
right.
Is
still funny.
Right,
still funny.
Go on. Yes, go
is
on.
Is right 69%.
Yes.
This somebody's got to investigate this.
I'll drop
this
it.
This is a ring
I'll
of drop something it, perverted.
I'll drop it into our Slack channel. You can do your own research.
This is a ring of something perverted down
I know
there.
People are big fans of doing their own research out there. Go ahead and do your own research.
I don't see what's wrong with a rat from Gobbler's Knob being right 69% of the time. I don't understand what's funny. It's so funny about that.
617-779-7937. He predicts 6 more weeks of winter, and next thing you know, Boston Public Schools are closed. Boston Public Schools are closed tomorrow. So the groundhog was on to something. Anyway, we'll get back to the Celtics. Another victory for them over the Brooklyn Nets. That's become very commonplace. Do they have any real threat in the Eastern Conference? We'll do that next.